Happy Monday, Bucks fans. Steve Isbitz here, Monday Morning Joe podcast on joebucksfan.com. I'm one of the Joes. I'm here to take you through a few thoughts this morning. Of course, we're presented by Discount Garage Doors. DGDoors.com is the website, DGDoors.com. They're there for you 7 days a week. Free service call, free diagnosis. Check them out, DGDoors.com. I'm going to talk a little bit more about them a little bit later. And, of course, we're coming right off the draft. This is an exciting time. Crap, it's almost May. That means you got some OTAs. We get some looks at these rookies. And then June minicamp before you know it. A little break. It's training camp. The training camp takeover event. And then you're looking at first preseason game, which you know you love. You know you look forward to that more than anything else. A taste of real football, your team. And then it's September. Where I can smell it. I get excited. I get fired up. It's not January 30th anymore, and we're wondering why our team hasn't played in a freaking month. It's here now. New season. We know we get a good sense of the puzzle, what it looks like now after that draft. And that's, of course, where I want to go first. And there's two things. You know, I'm not going to take you through every pick and who they should have taken and all that sort of crap. Come on now. All you people moaning and groaning out there, I get it. I understand it. I feel your passion, but it's a little misguided. We know that half these guys are going to bust. MJ Stewart, Carlton Davis, the cornerbacks taken in the second round. If Jason Light hits on one of those guys, if one of those guys can start at outside corner and be pretty good, jackpot. That's just how the draft is. Not an exact science for anybody. And I don't want to talk about bust rates overall. I'm interested in the bust rates of the good general managers, not the bad ones, the good ones. And, you know, Jason Light had 3 second-round picks. Just hit on 2 of those guys, and you just belted a home run. Doesn't have to be 3 out of 3. Don't expect it to be 3 out of 3. Vita Vea, an interesting pick in the first round. Now, how do I feel about that one? That's a very interesting pick on a few levels, a few different levels. I like the pick because of the draft picks it netted. Right, Bucks trade down from number 7, drop down to number 12, pick up 2 extra second-round picks. That's what makes Vea a smart pick. That is why. Now, him on his own, I don't know if that's the best pick, if they do that at 7, or even if they, you know, just pick a number. There are a couple of question marks on this guy, and he will have to be developed. But that's fine. He adds a dimension the Bucks haven't had in a long time. His ceiling is off the charts, off the roof. He plays nasty. He's big. He's angry. He's hard to move. Should be hard to move at this level. We'll see. But what a dimension. I mean, 6'4", 347 pounds, and he's an athlete, and he's a strong man. We haven't had a guy like that in a long time. I hope he pans out. The NFL's a tougher game. He's going to need more stamina. He's going to need to complete his game, but they've got a new D-line coach, Brenson Buckner, who played the position. And he's got plenty of veterans around him to learn from, an extraordinary number. He supposedly has the right mentality. Jason Light says he's the mentality of what they want. So he should be all right. But here's the thing about the Vea pick. Vita Vea. The Bucks now have all these bodies on the defensive line. Loads of bodies on the D-line. You're talking Will Golston is still a talent after a bad year, and he's young, and he's a freakish body as a defensive end. 6'6", 285. You got Noah Spence, crazy talented. Right now he's healthy. Who knows? Mitch Unrein, who's gotten the job done. Go back and watch the opening day last year against the Bears. Watch him work over Donovan Smith early in the game and stuff Jaquez Rogers in the backfield. We got Mitch Unrein. We've got Vinnie Curry paying big money to play defensive end from the Eagles. You've got Bo Allen. I feel bad for Bo Allen. Feel badly for Bo Allen. The poor guy turned down more money elsewhere to sign with the Bucks. He talked about how he did a ton of research and film study on teams where he could go in free agency. And he thought the Bucks were a great fit on top of having a chance to start or assuming he could start the scheme and all this other stuff. And then they go ahead and draft Vita Vea. And when is this guy going to play? We'll see. And of course, Gerald McCoy is still there and Jason Pierre-Paul. But the thing about the Vita Vea, it's driving me nuts. I don't really care right now. Here's the thing. If you want to have this badass defensive line, if you want to have a mentality, Jason Light keeps talking about guys who don't have the five-star virus, guys who are willing to work and grind and love football and hate to lose. If you have that mentality, and Light has talked about this, hate to lose mentality. If those are the guys you want, and you got a defensive line full of them, then you have to let these guys compete honestly. An honest competition for those spots. Otherwise, your organization and your team becomes a fraud. And that eats away at players. We all know in the NFL, salary and draft status often dictate what goes on the field. And it shouldn't be that way. That's just not football. That's not a healthy team environment. And I hope the Bucs are able to resist that along the defensive line this season. Via top pick, number 12 overall. He's got to develop, but he's also got to earn a spot. And you know what? I don't want him on the field playing more than he should be if he's not the best player. And we got to win in these first three games or the whole season is going to fall down the toilet. You've got New Orleans. You've got Pittsburgh. You've got the Eagles. Reverse that order. 1, 2, 3. We all know the brutal schedule. You can't afford to be playing political games of, well, we can't start Golston even if he's playing better than this guy. And, well, you know, Vinny Curry and Villas are, you know, you can't do that. You can't do that. You lose credibility on your team. You lose credibility in general. And if you have these guys who you say just want to compete and work hard, you got to play them honestly. So if Villa's not ready to go, start Bo Allen. There's no shame in Via coming in and not getting a ton of reps right away. No shame in that. If Will Golston is your best right defensive end to start the game because JPP is going to play on the left side, put him in there. I don't care if Vinny Curry sits. I don't care if Vinny Curry is butthurt. I don't care if he doesn't like it. I don't care if he thinks, man, I want a Super Bowl and I'm coming here and I got my ass on the bench. I don't care. Play the best guys because they competed and won those spots. Brinson Buckner, I like the fact that he's been in the league and he's been a successful coach, a lot of seasons in the league. He knows what it takes. I really, really hope that they let him make the call. Let him get the feel of his guys. Let him size up the competition and let him make the call. None of this draft pick stuff or free agency stuff. Now, look, Gerald McCoy and Jason Pierre-Paul are going to play. I'm talking about the other two spots. You got to let those competitions play out and stick with them and be committed to playing the best players. I'm not worried about Villa. He'll get his reps. He'll get in there. If he's worthy, he'll prove himself. Put the best guys on the field and create a real competitive atmosphere. So that's my hope. And that my thought with what's gone on the Bucs defensive line, including the pick of Via, don't feel this pressure to play him. All right, now on the flip side, I hope he's ready to dominate. I hope he's just able to manhandle NFL offensive linemen like he did in college. That would be something else. But, you know, and I know Dirk Cutter says he can pass rush. Oh, man, if you don't think he can pass rush, turn on the Washington State film when Washington played Washington State. That's very nice, Coach Cutter. But we do know in the NFL, if there was a guy who was 6'4", 347 pounds, who was an awesome pass rusher and an iconic run stuffer, who was an athletic and with feats of strength, he wouldn't have fallen to the 12th pick in the draft. So let's calm it down a little bit. Peter King of Sports Illustrated shared, I don't have a ton of respect for Peter King anymore, but he did share a nugget that be concerned a little bit about Via's weight. I've heard that other places. Hopefully the Bucs get him even thinner than he is now. Drop him down to maybe 335. But whatever, I'm sure he'll be fine, especially this first year. But it is something to monitor. If all of a sudden he's ballooned up to 363, that's not good short term, and that's not good long term. He's already big enough. 6'4", 347, that's big enough. He doesn't need to get any bigger at all. Plenty to talk about in the podcast. We're going to hit on some picks and talk about the draft party a little bit and some other things going on. But first, you've put it off so long already that garage door, it's broken. It doesn't work right. You know you're going to have an emergency, or you banged into it with your car and it's all messed up, or it's hurting the value of your home that you're putting up for sale because you have an ugly old garage door. Discount Garage Doors, that's the company to call. Longtime Bay Area company, 18 counties served, from Tampa Bay all the way on out to Orlando and around the western central Florida. I love this company. I trust them. 1-866-420-DOOR, 866-420-DOOR. No pressure, no fee, service call, free diagnosis, and they'll come to your home. They'll give you pricing on everything, whether it's a repair or a new door. They have a great selection, and of course, everything already is at a discount. That's why they call it Discount Garage Doors. Insured, great technicians. We've had a lot of Joe Bucks fan readers use Discount Garage Doors already. They're growing rapidly because of that. And just do it. Make the call. They're there for you 7 days a week, same day free service call. So you know what? You want to do this on Saturday? Call today. Schedule Saturday. Or if it's an emergency, call now. They'll probably be there late this afternoon. Discount Garage Doors, 1-866-420-DOOR. Use your Joe Bucks fan discount code. Now, three picks in the second round of the draft. Three picks. What do the Bucks do? They go right out and they get their running back, Ronald Jones, out of USC. Now, we wrote about him on JoeBucksFan.com. I'm very happy with the Jones pick. The guy's a slasher. He can run between the tackles. He's explosive. Everybody can see he's explosive. All the analysts, one of the most explosive guys in the draft. I think I said on this podcast or the Ira Kaufman podcast that you can't hold it against a guy. So many people do because they didn't watch him, right? How many people are sitting here glued to USC football in Florida? No, they're SEC focused. They have an SEC bias and all that sort of stuff. Jones had an excellent career running the football. Not the greatest offensive line at USC. Like many of the running backs in this draft, he averaged huge numbers, yards per carry. I'll get to that in a second. Almost wanted to vomit over the weekend listening to Dirk Cutter. Anyway, Jones was the fifth running back taken in this draft. Last year, the Bucks needed a running back. They took the 17th running back off the board in Snoop Dogg McPlaybook, a.k.a. Jeremy McNichols. So we went from 17th to fifth. I like the priority. Everybody knows Jones has the talent. Hopefully the Bucks did a good job of scouting here and he's not one of the busts. Unfortunately, I really wanted Nick Chubb. I thought he suited Dirk Cutter's offense most perfectly. And it's always about how the running back fits the offense, just like any player. Now, sure, running back's the easiest position in the league to be successful quickly because you don't have to really even necessarily know that much rushing the football, and we see it time and time again. So hopefully he's got the talent. Hopefully he can adapt quickly. Hopefully all this other stuff. But I like the pick. I like the priority of it, and I'm totally fine with it. Kerryon Johnson, who was picked next by Detroit, I liked him too. Certainly liked him too. But I think the Bucks made the right call. The whole thing with Darius Geis, you know, there were too many good running backs in this draft to play games with a guy who might not have been what you wanted him to be. So, or might have had some issues off the field. Why mess around with that? And frankly, the Bucks said they weren't going to be doing that. And they said it many different ways. And I know from my own personal conversations that they were not going to mess around in their minds with a guy, a keyword in their minds, with a guy who might have had some problems. So I'm good with Jones, but I'll say the same thing again. Let him compete honestly with Peyton Barber. I want the best running back on the field. I don't want the guy who's Dirk Cutter's favorite. Hello, Doug Martin. I want the guy who's the best, who's competed and won the competition, is going to get the best job done. Results is what this is about. And I don't think Jones deserves anything over Peyton Barber until he shows it. And we'll see how that shakes out. We'll see how that shakes out, but it's going to be a theme of mine, and I hope it's a theme of the Bucks. No more of this gifting guys stuff. You know what? If DeSean Jackson needs to sit more because Godwin is emerging and the Bucks like the connection with him and Jameis, and it's just fitting, and they want to go with more plays and calls for Godwin, and Godwin's a better blocker downfield, no question about it. You can turn on that film and see some incredible blocking in the run game by Godwin. You know, no more worried about guys' feelings, no more diva crap. Play the best player. Play the best player. I like the pick of Jones. Now, with the cornerbacks, we've got people freaking out. They don't like MJ Stewart as a pick, 53rd overall. They don't like Carlton Davis necessarily as a pick out of Auburn. And it's just wait and see mode for me. I mean, there were a lot of cornerbacks taken in the second round. What did they start with? Let me look here. Got my computer here fired up. We got Josh Jackson out of Iowa. And then it went from there as far as MJ Stewart and then Dante Jackson. A lot of people liked him out of LSU. Great speed. You know, almost a Brent Grimes kind of player in his size and his speed. Duke Dawson out of Florida went to the Patriots. Isaiah Oliver, a lot of people were screaming for him because everybody watches the Pac-12 and just knows Colorado turns out great cornerbacks. It's the draft. Calm down. Carlton Davis went after that. And so, you know what? Those five guys are always going to be linked in this draft. And we'll see who did the best picking at all that. It was, of course, the Falcons who ended up with Isaiah Oliver in that second round before the Bucks took Carlton Davis. So that'll be fun to watch and see how that evolves. Just hit on one of these guys, and you know what? Again, let them compete. Jason Light, Dirk Cutter, Mike Smith, let them compete. If Ryan Smith or Vernon Hargraves are emerging and they're better than these guys, I expect that those guys are going to play. I don't want to see anybody thinking like, oh, well, you know, we got to play Stewart because, gosh, he was a high second-round pick, and we got to look good, save face for the organization, and we can't play guys that are under them because it'll look like we drafted the wrong positions and the wrong players. No. Play the best players, and that's going to be a theme for this year because I've seen too much of this favoritism and too much of gifting of positions for the Bucks too often under this general regime. I think too much with Dirk Cutter. I don't like it. I don't think it's helped the team blossom whatsoever. So we're going to take a quick break. I will be right back. I sure hope you enjoyed your draft this year, whether you were watching at the Bucks Uncensored Joe Bucks Fan Draft Party at Buffalo Wild Wings on Thursday night. About 700 people out there. Derek Brooks in the house. Brent Grimes, Miko Grimes. But really the story of the show was you, the fans, having an all-out blowout blast. And another few hundred were out there in South Tampa on Friday night, enjoying themselves. The dozens of you who flew in from out of town, out of state, all over the place. Fantastic. And I'll mention a little bit more about that later. But I hope you liked our coverage on JoeBucksFan.com, the different angles that we like to take through the draft. And our traffic was through the roof. I didn't get to go to the draft party on Friday or even out to One Buck. I was hoping to do both, but we had some site issues. It didn't crash, but there were some connection limitations going on. Essentially, we got overloaded when we shouldn't have. So if it was slow on Friday for you at times, I apologize. Shouldn't have happened, but we didn't get many complaints because we still had thousands and thousands and thousands of visitors. But it just wasn't what it should have been. At least we think we got that fixed. And when the Bucks win on opening day, and there's a mad surge to JoeBucksFan.com at 4:15 on Sunday, September 9th, I think it is, well, we'll be just fine for that. All right, a couple of quick things about the cornerbacks. Yeah, we wrote a few times, and you'll hear it again on JoeBucksFan.com. Both of those guys combined, Carlton Davis and MJ Stewart, they combined for one interception in their last 49 college games. One pick. Now, picks aren't everything, but you can't be hypocritical. You can't celebrate a guy in college, Mr. Bucks official or coach or whoever you may be, scout. You can't celebrate a guy for say, 9 picks in his last 2 years in college and say that's a big deal and he's a ball hawk and all this stuff, and then draft cornerbacks who don't have any picks and say, well, it's not as it seems. You can't have it both ways. Turnovers are important. Dirk Cutter harps on them all the time. Most NFL coaches do. Nobody was like Lovie Smith, freaking out about turnovers and takeaways. It was all about that, but it's an important stat. Now, the Bucs and their ratio of turnovers, they weren't bad last year at all. I think they were about even, maybe minus one in the takeaway ratio. But you know what? I don't want to misquote it, but I'm pretty sure Atlanta and Carolina each had were worse than the Bucs. So they were kind of middle of the pack in that stat, but you do need turnovers and they do matter. And frankly, Robert McClain, who is still unemployed in the NFL, Robert McClain, Bucs cornerback last year, versatile, had 3 picks. Someone's got to make that up, right? Theoretically, somebody's got to make that up. It's just like somebody's got to make up 5 sacks from Clinton McDonald. Someone's got to figure that out. You need numbers. Dirk Cutter said you can't have 22 sacks. You got to get production. It's a production league, and those cornerbacks have to produce more than they did in college from a turnover standpoint, or maybe they don't play. Again, let the best man play. Now, Doug Martin, yes, somehow he's going to find his way into this darn podcast, and I'm going to make it quick, but Dirk Cutter, after the draft on this weekend, he said that, talking about the draft class of running backs, he was talking about how much they like Jones, and they should, how hard he runs, and he talked about how his yards per carry was so strong, over 6 yards per carry, and that many guys in this draft class were in that range, 6 yards per carry, and it was so impressive. Well, I almost vomited, and many of you saw that story that I wrote, but it was because it was worth noting, because if Dirk Cutter thinks yards per carry matters so much in college that it's so noteworthy to be the first thing to discuss, then why didn't it matter last year with 2.9 yards per carry from who also did it in the previous year in 2016. So think about that for a while. Maybe somebody has an answer. If you want to tweet that to us at Joe Bucks Fan, I'll read it. I would love to hear a theory or two on that. Was Cutter just issuing a figure of speech or just noting something that he thought interesting? I don't think so. That was the first thing he went to, and he actually said all those guys averaged between 6.1 and 6.3 yards a carry. That's a quote. And they all had a ton of carries. Like, it wasn't a small sample size of 100 carries, Cutter said. Come on. Come on, Dirk. You watched Doug Martin crap the bed at 2.9 yards a carry, and you didn't care. It wasn't Martin's fault. Come on. I didn't like that. But we're moving on. It's a positive time. Screw Doug Martin. These are happy times. Happy times for Bucs fans. Now, Ira Kaufman, in his column today at Joe Bucks, and if you don't read Ira, shame on you. Come on, shame on you. Read Ira, Sage of Tampa Bay Sports. 40 years. This is his 40th year covering the NFL. 40th season. Started as a beat writer covering the New York Giants in 1979. Ira's got great perspective. Nobody's got more contacts, and it's not like, oh yeah, he knows stuff. No, it's perspective. It's learning about the league from an inside out way. It's good knowledge. Ira's not perfect. We love to argue and disagree with Ira, but there's a lot of good sense with him. And he mentioned today that a big nagging question mark for him is that, did he walk out of that draft believing that the Bucs have somebody other than Brent Grimes who can cover? And that's really going to be a huge question mark for this season. Who can cover? Who can get this done? And if they don't have guys who can cover, let's say nobody's that good outside of Grimes, then will Mike Smith adjust accordingly to get even more pressure on a quarterback and not rely on just that front four, which should be better? Can he find a way to get Quan Alexander and Levante David to be effective blitzers again? Can he do something with the safeties to make them more of playmakers, maybe take some more chances? A lot of interesting things going on in the Bucs defense. I mentioned Ira because he's a little skeptical of the two cornerbacks, I know many of you are as well, but I got to be fair with these guys in the sense that let's see what they have. We only need one of them to pan out this year, if you really think about it. You want depth, but you need one of them to be become a good cover guy. And even if it's at Hargraves bouncing back, so be it. So be it. The third round pick, Alex Kappa. Humboldt State, out in California, Division II. Humboldt, of course, is known for massive quantities of marijuana. Not exactly a football town. But this kid Kappa is a talent. He's big. He's got a big body. But he's been playing Division II. And I know a lot of fans are going to start thinking he's Ali Marpet. But he was a late third round pick. Marpet was sort of taken where many people thought he'd be in the late second round. Different kinds of talent. Different kind of body, really. But he's going to be pegged to compete at guard. And he's been training with... I forget the guy's name. This is really going to piss me off. But he's been training with the guy who played center, a Pro Bowl center for the Browns. And if you remember when there was MRSA with the Browns years ago in the locker room, Kellen Winslow caught it, and there were other issues. But a guy who played with the Saints, he was a Pro Bowler with the Saints, and then he went to the Browns, got MRSA, and was injured with his knee and never played again, and the MRSA affected his knee recovery. He ended up settling with the Browns. It was a big deal. He has been coaching, private coaching in Arizona, Alex Kappa, and I like that. I like that Kappa sent himself to this O-line institute run by this guy. I apologize that I'm not remembering the name. It's going to hit me at some point. And high marks from this coach who knows the game, who many thought was on a Hall of Fame kind of path. And he tweeted out something over the weekend saying that, hey, Kappa deserved it, deserved his drafting, and this guy earned every inch of it. LaCharles Bentley, that's who it was. LaCharles Bentley, he's in his late 30s now, trains O-lineman, two-time Pro Bowler. So I liked it. At least Kappa comes in with that perspective. He's not just coming with a slap on the ass from his Division II coach out in Humboldt. But let this guy compete. Is he better than Evan Smith? I don't know. But I hope there's competition there going in both directions. And I hope Damar Dotson is competing with Caleb Benenach at right tackle. No gifts. No gifts on this team other than a very select few guys. And one of them, of course, being Ryan Jensen. And that includes at receiver. Right? The fifth round pick, Justin Watson. If this kid can play, let him compete. I don't expect him to be able to play out of Penn, but let him compete. Let everything be open. If Godwin can play over Jackson, like I mentioned, let him play. Let everybody compete. Justin Whitehead, I noted on JoeBucksFan.com that Whitehead, the fourth round pick, the center out of Pitt. Dirk Cutter is one of the guys who went to see him at his pro day and interviewed him and sat down with him. That came out of a local paper in Pennsylvania. Jordan Whitehead. So that's kind of unique. That sort of makes it a Dirk Cutter special to me. That Cutter probably liked the way the kid broke down film, the way he talked ball. Cousin of Darrell Revis, well-schooled probably, and a lot of nuances that many college guys are not because of his relationship to Revis and his understanding, sort of an innate understanding of the pro game. So Revis was drafted when he was like in second or third grade, and he was there at the draft party and watching Revis. He went to Revis's camps growing up and was very connected to the game. I think we might have a mature player there in some ways, versatile talent. We'll see. We'll see. I don't know what to expect for the Bucs secondary, but I like that pick. I like that, you know, all these guys are crapshoots, and you want guys who might have a little bit of an edge as, you know, as who they're connected to or the environment they grew up in, coach's son or whatever. That doesn't always work out, right? Look at Vernon Hargraves. He's a coach's son. But on the flip side, and this is going to be a bizarre example, but look at Cody Grimm, right? He came in and he contributed for the last 10-win Bucs team as at safety, was a good player. Didn't last in the league very long, but when he was there, when he was healthy, he played well. And he was the son of a guy of Russ Grimm, who the great O-lineman and NFL coach. Sometimes that matters. Sometimes it can help a guy contribute quickly when he has those – those bloodlines and that sort of experience growing up. Maybe this is the case with Whitehead being from the Revis family. And I don't know. He's got the athleticism. He's got the pedigree. We'll see. We'll see. I would have liked to have seen the Bucks go with a defensive end and a running back late in the draft instead of the receiver out of Penn and the linebacker out of Wisconsin who's coming in banged up in the sixth round, but a guy who's considered more talented than a sixth round pick, a la Kendall Beckwith. I get it. You stick to your board, but man, every year teams are drafting defensive ends and a couple of them pan out and the Bucks still have question marks at edge rusher for the future. Jason Pierre-Paul's legit, but do we have an edge rusher otherwise? Is Noah Spence going to pan out? I would have loved to see him take a flyer on an edge rusher, whoever might have been left, just to develop. A little more important to me than a linebacker. If you got a defensive end who could possibly blossom yet still play special teams, I don't know. But I'm nitpicking. Just have good players in here. Hard to go wrong with good players. Jason Light just hit on 2 out of 3 in the second round. Let Villa not be a bust. Let him evolve. And this team should be a lot better. And frankly, now it all falls back on Jameis Winston. Right? Now that the dust is settled, now that the team is taking shape, the improvements are made, fourth year in the system. Come on, Jameis. You have to take that big step forward as a healthy quarterback who's going to emerge as an above-average quarterback and make your team a 9-10 win team consistently. That's it. You got to win a couple of games for you yourself. All right, I'll say that. You have to win. Jameis has to win a game or two a year just on his back, just on his incredible play alone for the Bucks, and not lose games for them. That's what is the mark of a franchise quarterback, a guy who's going to put the team on your back, on his back a couple of times a year and not be a reason that they lose games. So that's where Jameis has to get to. And if he doesn't improve, none of this is really going to matter too much because I don't see the defense becoming a top 10 overnight here, but everything should be better. And the depth is better. So that bodes very well, especially when you look at the guys on the Bucks defensive line. Guys like Ryan Russell, still unemployed after starting for the Bucks as a young player, 7 games last year. That kind of lets you know what's going on or what was going on at defensive end. Same thing for Robert Ayers. A couple of things about the party and some exciting things going on. FanRetreat.com, that's where you go for your Bucks tickets, your Lightning tickets, any tickets. Use your Joe Bucks Fan discount code. It's like a StubHub or a SeatGeek, and you can get tickets there. But you can also get all your travel, all your hotels, your rent-a-cars. The Bourbon Street Takeover. Bourbon Street Takeover is going down. It's going to be a huge road trip for Bucks fans with the Bucks Uncensored podcast and the commission, the stick carriers. Ira Kaufman is planning to go, and there'll be a little event the night before the game, taking over Bourbon Street. Bucks, of course, open at the Saints. So you're going to look for details on FanRetreat.com, but really primarily you want to look for the details at JoeBucksFan.com. But the thing you want to know is how to get the information as it's coming. So what you want to do is text TAKEOVER to 345-345. Text TAKEOVER to 345-345. That's how you'll make sure you get the details as they pop, so you can figure out how you want to handle being a part of it if you choose to be a part of it. FanRetreat.com. So what else was notable? One thing that was very notable on the draft, the Bills, if you saw the story, Bills general manager right before the start of the second round, explained that he had a deal in place with the Broncos, but they called him and said, "We're out," when Bradley Chubb fell to them. So he was out. And then he explained that Indianapolis let everybody know they weren't moving in the draft. And they were committed to sitting there at number 6, and they expected Quentin Nelson to be their pick. That's who they wanted, and that's who they got. So really, in theory, the Bucs never had a shot at Quentin Nelson unless they were going to trade up to Denver, which wasn't going to happen because Denver had a deal in place to trade down. And was Indianapolis really going to trade up to number four and give up valuable booty that they had gotten already from trading down with the Jets at number three to get back to number four to get Nelson? Nah, it didn't make any sense. So there you go. The Bucs really never had a shot at Quentin Nelson unless they were willing to pay a crazy ransom. So in reality, it was never going to happen for those of you who wanted Quentin Nelson. And that's just sort of a little bit of draft history. It was rare to get some truth, some real honesty from a GM. Brandon Bean of the Bills let it spill in great detail on SiriusXM NFL Radio. He also explained that Jason Light wasn't being greedy. And if Jason Light was greedy, well, they might not have made the deal. Because, of course, Chicago probably would have traded with them. Chicago wasn't drafting a quarterback. They probably would have taken the picks and gone back from 8 to 12 with the Bills. So the Jason Light played it beautifully. Beautifully, he deserves all the props in the world. Am I ready to hand him a brand new contract for 4 years? No, these guys still have to produce. There's a lot to prove on the field for Jason Light and for his picks, for his free agents. And hopefully it'll all be good, Bucks fans. Hopefully it'll all be good. Now, the draft party, really good to meet so many of you out there. You know, I know not most people listening did not go to the draft party, but it's just great to feel the enthusiasm for JoeBucksFan.com, for the podcast that we're putting out there. Bucks Uncensored, Monday Morning Joe, Ira Kaufman podcast, got a lot of love for our other podcasts as well. Todd Wright Fantasy Football, the Joe Bolts Fan, the new Lightning podcast that's out there. Todd has a Lightning podcast as well. So really fun to hear that and just really great to see the energy. And I'm proud of Bucks fans, proud of a lot of things because really nobody has a draft party like that that's not affiliated with the team, that's just part of a fan club or a podcast. You never see a radio station event just for a watch party that's that big. You know, it's not that easy to pull that off, but Derek Brooks being out there, way to go, Derek. Thank you very much. Derek coming out representing the Identity Tampa Bay, the new newsletter. Would love for you to subscribe to that. Very easy to do. Usually you can see a link on Joe Bucks Fan or just go to the Identity Tampa Bay. Nice little news hub getting started there. And Lifestyle Hub, Sports Hub by Jeff Vinnick. It's his group over there starting up something new. And Brent Grimes coming out, talking to fans. And just very cool that the fans weren't harassing Brent Grimes, weren't bugging him, talking to him, sure, taking some selfies, but really nothing over the top, nothing weird. And it was just a great environment. And it's rare. Hope you can come next year if you couldn't come this year, because it's just not something you see very often, such a brotherhood of fandom in April. I think most people were wearing some sort of gear as well. It was colorful. It was fun. It was energetic. It was great. And, you know, a poll on JoeBucksFan.com that we did that had about 60% of fans wanting their first choice in the draft to trade down. Well, that crowd there erupted when the Bucks traded down. And you don't see that very often. The fans wanted the picks. They trust Jason Light with more picks, and we sort of got what we wanted in a lot of ways, even though, yeah, some of you are not happy with everything you got. It's kind of the draft, they say, is like Christmas, and you're not always happy with what you get for Christmas, but you should be happy to get something, and in this case, it was a party. I'm not telling you to cheer the Bucks for losing. Don't get that the wrong way. All right, and man, the Bucks, you know, we sit here, we take a deep breath, and we try to think about the team and how it's going to do. And, you know, if you're still with this podcast right now, you're that fan who's just obsessing nonstop about this team. And I think my biggest thing I want you to take away from this podcast is that the Bucks went out in the draft and they focused on nasty, tough players who have worked their way up, who have an attitude and the talent that fits this mold that the Bucks believe that they need to fit. After screw-ups in free agency, after the Swaggy Baker experience, possibly after the DeSean Jackson experience. That the jury's still out on that one. But Bucks fans, we have to look and see, did the team accomplish its goal? Did they get nastier? Did they get tougher? Did they, and you know, that includes Jason Pierre-Paul and Vinnie Curry and Ryan Jensen and Bo Allen, guys who grinded their way up the league in many different ways. Pierre-Paul was a number one pick, first round pick, but the guy blew his hand off and got back into the league. Blew his hand off at defensive end. So everybody's got a story there. Everybody's got a grinder kind of story. And most of the guys in this draft for the Bucks had the same kind of mentality or story or both. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if the coaching staff doesn't demand it of the players when they get there. You can't just have the guys who have that mentality. You have to pull it all out of them. You have to demand it from everybody. It has to come from the coach. To me, for this team, a team that needs to somehow find a way to go 2-2 to start the season with this brutal schedule, got to go 2-2 at least. Yeah, just say 2-2 would be great. They got to be ready early. They got to be at their nastiest early. They have to be in Super Bowl mode from day one. And Cutter's got to make some changes to draw it out of them. There's got to be an intensity. I don't care personally if the Bucks burn out by December 1st. Not my problem, and I'm okay with that. If they can grind into this schedule and burn out and go 6-4 and struggle a bit down the stretch, I'd almost be okay with that. If you want to change the culture, win early, be nasty early. If you have to burn yourself out to do it, oh well, you'll figure out how to adjust that later. But frankly, it shouldn't happen. But you got to be ready early. You got to make the most out of these nasty guys. I like the nasty edge thing. I like the mentality picks. I like the physicality, fixing the trenches, going after these guys who you think are going to make a difference on a physical and mental and emotional level. But you have to tap into it. Dirk Cutter's got to know that they're going to change their habits if they're taking cues from a coaching staff that isn't looking to do that as well. And has this coaching staff acted like the toughest staff ever? The nastiest staff ever? No, it hasn't, folks. It has not. That's got to change. That's got to echo what they demand from players and what they have in their players. So I hope that's clear. These podcasts, I appreciate you listening because it gives me a chance to ramble. Sometimes there's more to talk about. Sometimes there's not. I don't know. I love doing this. I appreciate the good feedback. Subscribe, Podbean, Google Play, iTunes. Leave a review. Tell me it sucks. Tell me it's great. Tell me what you want different. Just say something or just give it some stars. 3, 4, 5. 5 is really the only thing that's acceptable. But do whatever you wish there. Keep going to JoeBucksFan.com. Keep retweeting, telling a friend, listening to the podcasts. The whole website is for you guys. I'm glad you enjoy it. Thanks again. See you next week.